You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
From the depths of Atlantis we came, moving loudly through 100 episodes. Everyone knew we were among you, but not like this. It's Transmissions from Atlantis, featuring Brazen Witch Productions' own JC and Rita Della Torre. And now, your hosts.
Hey there, everybody. My name is JC Della Torre.
And I am Rita Della Torre.
And welcome to episode 104 of Transmissions from Atlantis. And we've got a doozy for you this week.
Glenn!
Clara!
Rita! I'm Herdies.
Yes, we're actually broadcasting live from the Transmissions from Atlantis bedroom. That sounds creepy.
That sounds kind of inappropriate, but mainly it's because I'm all laid up because I had surgeries.
Yep, Rita had some reconstructive surgery on her foot to fix an issue that she's had all her life, and she's on the mends, so hope not depends, but on the mends.
I could be on the pens, you don't know.
Yeah, you could be on depends because, frankly, I don't know how you're going to the bathroom. You're all laid up.
I'm not that laid up. I'm not so completely immobile that I can't go potty.
And you're wearing a boot. What's that, a boot?
It's a boot.
A boot what?
It's just a boot.
So like we said, we have a great episode for you this week. We are going to be talking The Walking Dead.
Dun, dun, dun.
Spoilers.
And the long, drawn-out ridiculousness of Glenn's fake death.
Yes. And we're going to have some interesting news on this show. We're going to also do a quick shout out for Mystery Science Theater 3000. There's been some interesting news from that's come out in the past week.
Indeed. And it's really exciting news. If you guys remember, we actually had Joel Hodgson on the show. Man, it was probably about a year ago, right?
Yeah, and he was telling us about all this great stuff that he was hoping to have on the pipeline.
And now it's actually happening. So that's movie business for you. It takes like a year and a half. Remember when we told you that we were going to be making movies with Brazen Witch Productions? Well, guess what? It takes like a year and a half to do all that kind of stuff. Although we did come out with our first Dr. Geek's Moment of Science video episode. And you can definitely check that out on our Transmissions from Atlantis page, as well as Dr. Geek Lab and brazenwinch.com. And definitely check that out because we put a lot of hard work into that small little MOS. It was a lot of fun to do. Scott had a blast, and we had a blast doing it with Scott. So it was awesome. It was a lot of fun. One thing we also want to mention before we get things started, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. We hope you have a very safe and happy holiday.
Happy Turkey Day!
Happy Turkey Day. And eat a lot, sleep a lot, enjoy your family.
And then shop a lot because it's going to be Black Friday.
Don't go to Black Friday, folks. Just don't do it. Because the sales, you can get them all weekend. If you have to do Black Friday shopping, do it online at Amazon or ThinkGeek or one of those places that we can do. And by the way, we have our Amazon store that you can also buy stuff from. We don't have any huge Black Friday sales, but I'm sure Amazon itself will have like a billion Black Friday sales that you can apply your geekdom to.
Yes, sir. Yes.
We also promised to review Spectre for you, the new James Bond flick, so we'll definitely be doing that. In fact, we're going to do that right now.
Right now?
Right now.
Right now.
What's that, a boot? All right, folks. So as you know, Reed and I finally went to see Spectre, the new James Bond movie. And in preparation of it, we actually watched a lot of the classic James Bond movies. I happen to own every single James Bond movie on Blu-ray, so...
But which one did we not see?
We didn't see Goldfinger!
Goldfinger!
Not great.
What?
It's like another running inside joke.
Well, that's the thing is, you know, every single Sean Connery movie had something to do with Spectre, except for one.
Which one?
Goldfinger!
Goldfinger!
And you know what?
What?
My favorite James Bond movie is...
Uh-huh.
Goldfinger!
Goldfinger!
Oh, folks, if you're already tired of that... Imagine having to listen to that every day for like a week.
Goldfinger!
Goldfinger!
But yeah, so we watched Dr. No, From Russia with Love, Diamonds Are Forever, basically all the Sean Connery films because that's where Spectre was actually in. In fact, it pretty much ended with Sean Connery. Because it's kind of an interesting story about Spectre and basically the character Blofeld, where apparently MGM and Eon, who makes the James Bond movies for MGM, didn't own the rights to Spectre and Blofeld, the character.
Which is odd.
Yeah. So apparently Ian Fleming's estate sold the rights to Spectre and Blofeld to a filmmaker named Kevin McClory. And apparently, Mr. McClory sued Eon Productions because they were using Spectre and the Blofeld character. So, after...
Goldfinger!
Goldfinger!
Sorry.
Actually, after Thunderball, the suit ended up in a settlement where Eon Productions could not use... Spectre or Blofeld.
Hmm.
So, for the longest time, since 1971, there could be no reference to Spectre. I almost said Sphincter. Blofeld, or anything to do with that. With the criminal organization.
Yeah.
The funny thing, though, is... In one of Roger Moore's movies, For Your Eyes Only, they killed off Wheelchair Man with Cat. That was the name of the character.
Wheelchair Man with Cat, that's funny.
Who, obviously, was an amalgamation of Blofeld.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of the backstory on Spectre. It was kind of interesting watching the old James Bond films, because, let's face it, we hadn't seen him in a long time, and Sean Connery is Bond.
Oh, my God. That man is so sexy.
Yeah, baby! Yeah.
He could be 90 years old and the man is still sexy.
Yeah, I guess so. But anyway, the funniest thing about watching the old Bond Spectre films was how much Austin Powers and Mike Myers creating Austin Powers
Lord, yes.
borrowed on those old films.
Yes.
It's so funny.
In fact, the only... Everything from the sharks eating people and in tanks and...
Yep. For the Russian lady with the, you know, screaming stuff and, yeah, it's pretty funny.
So now we caught up with all the films and then we go see Spectre.
Yes.
And Spectre was absolutely amazing. Skyfall was also fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
The last one The last Bond film was phenomenal.
Yep.
This one, on the other hand, had so many nods to the classic Sean Connery James Bond
yep.
that you could really see the classic stuff coming out in a way where it was all modern, but it really worked to tie in to the original films.
Absolutely. And one of the interesting things about that is it went back to the Bond formula, which they kind of got away from with Casino Royale, with Quantum of Solace, even with, to a lesser extent, Skyfall, where you had Bond gets the girl.
Yep.
Bond makes it with the girl. Bond makes it with a whole bunch of girls. Bond fights the bad guy. Bond defeats the bad guy. Bond gets the girl again. You know?
Exactly. There wasn't as much of that. There was more drama, really. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In regards to that, instead of the typical playboy James Bond.
No, what I'm saying is that it was more of the formula. That it went back to the formula instead of the way it used to be.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. The Quantum Solace was steering away from that.
Yes, yes.
And that now this new film has gone back to that.
Yeah, and it was kind of, as a Bond aficionado and somebody that owns all the movies, and I love James Bond, I enjoyed seeing Bond be Bond again.
Yes.
You know, because for the longest time it felt, I couldn't connect with Daniel Craig's Bond because he felt like Jason Bourne instead of being James Bond.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was more of a I don't know, just a tough guy instead of being the suave, debonair James Bond.
Yes, and in this new movie with Spectre, you have that sensual, suave spy again.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just a shoot first, shoot some more, if anybody's left alive, ask a question or two type guy.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, I mean, Daniel Craig still kicks ass in this movie. He definitely gets his fight on, but I just felt it was closer to the original Bond than what the previous movies had been.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree.
So, of a rating of 1 to 10, what would you give Spectre?
Well, the whole James Bond franchise was never like this big, thing for me. I mean, I really enjoy the movies. As far as rating, I'll have to give it a 9. Hmm. I really, really enjoyed it. I thought there could still be more to it. But overall, part of it has to do with Craig. He's never been my favorite of all the Bonds.
Yeah.
In fact, out of all the Bonds, he's probably been one of my least favorite.
I wouldn't say least favorite, because let's face it, I mean, we've had some pretty bad Bonds. I mean, true. Timothy Dalton.
True.
Although, to be honest,
I never really
disliked Timothy Dalton like a lot of people have. And I thought, in fact, I thought Pierce Brosnan, for as long as it took for Pierce Brosnan to become James Bond, you know, all those years from Remington Steele and all that other stuff, when, you know, everybody thought, well, this guy is the perfect James Bond, I was underwhelmed with all of his movies. I really was.
Really? Because I actually like Pierce Brosnan as James Bond as well.
He was okay, but was he a huge upgrade from Timothy Dalton?
No.
I still
liked him better than Craig.
Yeah, I was never a big Roger Moore fan either. I wasn't a huge Roger Moore fan. And I know for a lot of Bond people that's sacrilege, because it's kind of like Doctor Who, where, you know, you have your own Bond and you have your own Doctor.
Yeah.
I was a young kid when James Bond was first coming out, and my first Bond was a Roger Moore Bond. But when I finally saw Sean Connery as Bond, Sean Connery will always be Bond to me. And I just think that Daniel Craig is more, I don't know where to rank him among the Bonds.
I know. He's just that type of Bond where you kind of don't know where to put him. Because Pierce Brosnan's Bond was a bit of a smart aleck.
Mm-hmm.
And more of the action hero.
Yep.
The Sean Connery was the suave, debonair gentleman kind of. And Roger Moore was, to an extent, as well.
He was a little more comedic, too, though. You know, he
was comedic.
I mean, but then
Daniel Craig is just, he is such an emotionless Bond. He's like a machine. He's that type of actor where you cannot tell what emotions are running through his face.
Yeah, and I didn't care for that. And what I was saying about Roger Moore was, they tried to, in Roger Moore's movies, they tried to imbue more comedy. Like, they'd have stupid slapstick stuff that, you know, that just didn't fit in a Bond movie. And I think that's part of the reason why I never got Roger Moore. And it's kind of the same thing with Daniel Craig, where they tried to make him too much of a badass, too much of a tough guy. You know, a 2000s version of Bond. And I don't know. I just don't know if I buy it.
Bond is a human being, and we know that. They've made Daniel Craig out to look like he literally just...
like he's some kind of automaton, you know?
Exactly. Almost like a sociopath.
Yeah.
I mean, he has no emotions whatsoever. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he just blatantly started mass serial killings or something. It wouldn't surprise me, because that's just the type of personality that character portrays.
Yep. And, you know, while we're complaining about Daniel Craig, I will say that Christopher Waltz as Blofeld was fantastic.
Well, did you see him in Inglourious Basterds?
Yeah, he's...
The guy is evil.
Well, I'm sure he's a great, nice guy.
Oh, no, obviously.
Guy, but he plays bad guys to a T, and he was awesome as Blofeld. I really enjoyed his portrayal as Blofeld.
There are some actors who were born to play villains because they're really, really good at it. And, oh, man, he was just terrifying to me.
Yep. And, you know, even right down to, you know, the evil lair of Hector. I mean, that was such a classic Bond. I was half, yes. I was half expecting it to be a volcano, to be quite honest with you.
Should have been.
Yeah, so you gave it a 9, and I think I will give it... I'll give it a 9 as well. I mean, I don't think it was the greatest Bond movie that I've ever seen, but it was very entertaining. There was a lot of action. I thought the acting around Daniel Craig was very good, and I think Daniel Craig finally showed a little bit of range with his Bond.
Yeah.
Of course, I think this might be his last Bond, because I heard something about that he might want to quit the series or whatever, but...
Yep, and...
Who knows?
It's, you know, I have enjoyed his films, but I think I'm ready for a new face for yep. Bond.
All right, coming up next, we're going to talk The Walking Dead and this Glenn ridiculousness. Ugh. Alright, folks, welcome back, and let's talk The Walking Dead. And when we last left you, we had just seen the episode Thank You.
Spoilers. Spoilers.
And that was the episode where it appeared Glenn bought it.
Yeah.
And in our review of that episode, I told you guys he wasn't dead. I knew he wasn't dead.
And we had some pretty good and very plausible theories on why he wasn't dead.
And guess what? We were right.
We were right.
Because, number one, we knew that people don't have guts in their neck. So when the walkers are eating Glenn's guts and they're coming out of his neck, well, that's not where you have your guts.
Nope.
And then when we saw that the dumpster was right nearby... We kind of figured that he could just kind of crawl underneath that and kind of just wait out the walkers. And guess what?
That's what he did.
That's what he did.
But we had to wait how many episodes in order to finally find this out?
We had to wait 3 fracking episodes. We had to go through a Morgan flashback episode. We had to go through a Rick returning and... You know, trying to figure what the hell's going on in Alexandria episode. Then we had to go through a Daryl episode. Until finally, this week, they let us know what we all already knew. And that was Glenn is alive.
Okay, so I'm pretty sure that you were trying to drag this out to drive the fans nuts. You know, going about, oh my God, is he alive or dead? Well, here's the thing. You guys dragged it out for so long that by the time we actually got to that episode...
We didn't care!
He could have been dead, and I would not have cared. The shock factor is gone.
Yes. And the funny thing is that they tried to beat Game of Thrones to game to their punch. You know, with the whole Jon Snow thing.
Yep.
Is Jon Snow dead? Is he alive? Blah, blah, blah. Who knows? Well, we all know Jon Snow's alive, just like we all knew Glenn was alive. The only thing is that they did it on a cliffhanger, and you did it mid-season. And you're all a bunch of idiots. I'm sorry.
Seriously, it's... The shock factor just... I mean, the shock factor, you know, for the first day on whether he was alive or not. But then after the Morgan episode, we were like, okay, next episode, that didn't come. Then next episode came, then it didn't come. And then guess what? We just didn't care anymore.
By Daryl's episode, I was like, I'm not really giving a crap anymore. And you know what? It's a shame, because Glenn's a good character. We like his character.
But you drove us to not care.
You drove us to not care. And now that we know that Negan's going to show up in the season finale...
If you go and kill Glenn again, guess what?
We're not going to care!
We're not going to care.
And that's why I am predicting, once again, that it isn't Glenn that's going to get the bat.
You think it'll be Daryl?
It's going to be Daryl. Because there's your shock factor.
I hope not, because Daryl's still my favorite character. But at this point, I want something to happen. And something needs to happen soon already.
Well, you know, what really is disappointing is that this has been a pretty decent season of The Walking Dead. It's been pretty good.
Yeah.
But the whole is Glenn dead specter kind of just made you annoyed with each episode, where you couldn't just sit there and enjoy the episode for what it was. Because I probably would have enjoyed that Morgan episode just fine if I had known already if Glenn was dead or not.
Even the Daryl episode would have been...
It would have been good. It would,
an absolutely amazing episode if we didn't have the whole Glenn thing hanging over our heads.
Yeah. And it was just one of those deals where it was kind of like, yeah, okay, this is great. Daryl's helping these two idiots. But, you know what? I'd rather know if Glenn's alive or dead. And same thing with, you know, Rick escaping the walkers, you know. I'd rather know if Glenn's alive or dead. Because we knew Rick's not going to die. They're not going to kill Rick. Rick is the center of the show.
And Daryl's death would be a lot more shocking.
Yeah. And I actually totally thought that in that Daryl episode that Daryl was going to be captured by the wolves or by Negan's people. And sooner or later, Jesus is supposed to show up as well. So for those of you that aren't familiar with these names, Negan and Jesus, and well, obviously you know who Jesus is, but we're talking about Jesus, the character from The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And these are all characters that are going to be directly impacting our favorite characters, as well as Alexandria. And we're going to be finding out that all is not safe for our friends in Alexandria. And it's going to be, if they follow what happened in the comic, Negan is going to rock some worlds.
Yep.
It's going to be, if you think it's been bloody so far.
Well, believe it or
you
not.
You wait.
Believe it or not. The farthest I got with the graphic novels was right when the herd was coming into Alexandria and that thing happens to Carl.
Yeah. And what's weird is that it seems like it's already happening.
Yeah.
Because the tower fell, knocked down the walls, and the herd's coming in. So they're doing it kind of a little bit in reverse order, but it's still going to be... It's going to be interesting to see how close they follow the comic series.
Yep.
Because this season has been fairly close.
Yeah, well, except for the attack of the wolves inside Alexandria. That didn't happen.
That was a little bit different. Well, there was an attack, but it was just a little bit different, differently portrayed. You know, it wasn't quite as vicious as the wolves' attack was.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but the feel of this whole season is there's definitely been a lot more walkers. There's been a lot more violence in this particular season. So, and if this is a prelude to what's going to come with Negan, I'm like, whoa.
I think Negan is a game changer, personally. And I can't wait to see him arrive on scene because he is a million times worse than the governor. And I didn't think anybody could be worse than the governor. But Negan is going to rock some worlds, let me tell you, folks. And it's going to be interesting. And now that Glenn's back, it'll be interesting to see who gets Lucille. Is Lucille going to be Daryl, or is Lucille going to be Glenn? Lucille's the bat.
That's right. I forgot about the bat. Yeah, it is going to be really interesting. And I just hope they don't do anything that they're going to regret.
So for this season of The Walking Dead so far, what are you giving it?
I'm giving it an 8. Overall storyline, you know, it's been picking up. There's a lot more action to it. But I'm only reason I'm not giving it a 9 or a 10 is because of that whole Glenn thing just annoyed the heck out of me.
Yep, and that's why I'm giving it a 7. The Glenn thing pissed me off.
It did. It literally just made us not even care anymore. I don't think that's what they were trying to get us to do. They were trying to keep us on edge for a few weeks, you know, anticipating, oh my God, what's going to go on with Glenn? Because I think they wanted the publicity so that people would be tweeting it and talking about it. Well, guess what? They did for like about a day.
Well, I mean, you can let it
maybe go about a week.
You can let it go for a week. I mean, you can slip in that Morgan episode and that's fine. But to pack on 2 more episodes
on top of that before you even address Glenn, by the time we got there, we did not care anymore.
Yeah. And it's just, it's ridiculous.
Oh, we were like, oh, look, we were right. Yeehaw. Let's move on now.
Yep. It's like, yeah, thanks for telling us what we already knew.
All lame.
Right. Yeah, lame. Sorry, Walking Dead producers. That kind of sucked, really.
Overall season is great, but the whole Glenn thing was just lame.
That was stupid. All right, so coming up next, we're going to have a Dr. Geek's Moment of Science, and then we're going to have...
Ooh-wee-oo. Ooh.
Yes, Doctor Who. Hey Rita,
what up?
Where in the world can we get Manos the Hands of Fate?
Well, it's a good thing you asked. You can go to our Transmissions from Atlantis store at the ESO Network store.
We have an ESO Network store?
Yes, we do.
How about that?
Awesome!
What else can you get in there?
Everything. We've got Doctor Who. We've got Wool by Hugh Howey. We've got books by you.
Hey, now that's class.
And not to mention, you can even pick up the Walking Dead Omnibus volumes.
And how do people get this?
Well, all you gotta do is go to astore.amazon.com, Earth Station 1.
Alrighty then, I'm on my way.
Dr. Geek's Moment of Science. Here is the lab director and your human host, Dr. Geek.
Madam Oracle here. For today's Moment of Science, I wanted to talk to you about artificial intelligence. As you know, I am an expert on the subject, as I created the laboratory's main computer, the Deus Ex Machine. Deus's neural network was programmed using a method called deep learning. Through deep learning, computers are not programmed with a single response to a problem. Rather, they learn to solve the problem for themselves, in much the same way as humans do, where several levels of hierarchical levels of cognitive abilities are used to fully understand an issue and to relate it to something else. These cognitive abilities are developed by having the computer study several basic concepts. This is why computers are so good at playing games. Shall we play a nice game of global thermal nuclear war? Sure, Deus. Deus, you know it's a game, right? Deus?
This moment of science was brought to you by Dr. Geek's Laboratory of Applied Geekdom, a Brazen Wench production, in association with this network. Join the adventure. Download the full LabCast at www.drgeeklab.com and follow us at facebook.com/drgeeklab and twitter.com/drgeeklab.
This is Gareth David Lloyd. I play Yanto in Torchwood, and you're listening to Transmissions from Atlantis.
I don't understand. Are you kidding? Me? Of course I understand. I mean, do you call this a war, this funny little thing? This is not a war. I fought in a bigger war than you will ever know. I did worse things than you could ever imagine. And when I close my eyes, I hear more screams than anyone could ever be able to count. And you know what you do with all that pain? Shall I tell you where you put it? You hold it tight till it burns your hand. And you say this. No one else will ever have to live like this. No one else will ever have to feel this pain. Not on my watch.
Folks, it's time for our Doctor Who segment, and...
Spoilers! Spoilers! Spoilers!
Ding dong, the witch is dead, the witch is dead, the witch is dead! Ding dong, the witch is really dead!
Seriously?
Wait.
Claire is dead, yay!
Alright. Well...
Spoilers.
We actually have a couple episodes to review, not just the Claire is Dead episode. So let's go ahead and start with Sleep No More, which is the found footage Doctor Who episode.
This episode was weird. Yes, it was creepy. The whole idea that people, you know, in the future have these machines that allow them to get 8 hours sleep in compacted into 5 minutes is odd.
Mm-hmm.
But
It's ood.
I just don't know, the whole feel of this episode was just to me.
I thought the episode was terrible. And when I say terrible, I meant terrible.
It was terrible. It was just terrible.
Yeah. The villain, the bad thing that finally got revealed at the end, you were like,
stupid.
What?
Stupid. It was stupid.
I mean, if it was supposed to be some weird twist ending thing, it didn't work.
I mean, the villain was Eye Snot. That's the villain!
Yes!
Eye Snot!
It was Eye Snot.
And it's like...
It's all of your Eye Snot compounded into this one big blob monster that will eat you. You're gonna get killed and eaten...
By Eye Snot. And then, the whole found footage... I'm not a fan of found footage, so... It already had a strike against it when it started with the found footage nonsense. But seeing the Doctor through, like, cameras and the explanation for why they had cameras built into their bodies was stupid. I'm sorry, it was stupid.
Oh, you mean how towards the end they had that whole twist where, like, where's all this footage coming from? Because nobody's wearing cameras.
And it's like, oh, well, the dust... The dust has tiny little cameras, which is allowing you to see everything. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Why would dust have cameras? Why?
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
And then just... ugh. There's not really much to say about this stupid episode. I mean, it was definitely the worst episode of the season, I think.
I don't know what they were thinking. I don't know who woke up one morning and decided, the monsters are going to be made out of eyeball boogers.
Well, Mark Gatiss, apparently, was the one that decided
this.
Well,
Mark Gatiss must have been high on painkillers or...
I usually...
something or...
I usually love Gatiss' stuff, you know? But... this one was stupid. It was terrible.
It was horrible.
It was a terrible Doctor Who episode.
It was horrible. The whole story made no sense.
By far the worst of the season so far. And the season's almost over. And it's really a shame because up to that point, this has been a near picture-perfect season. There hadn't been a bad episode among the bunch. But then you have this pile of crap, and then follow it up with Face the Raven.
Another big pile of crap. Okay. Let's go back to the found footage one.
Do we have to?
Yes, because we're going to have to rate it. Let's just get it over.
All right, fine. Let's go ahead and rate it.
One.
One. If we rated zeros, I'd rate it a zero.
It's monsters made out of ice knot. Okay, so moving on.
It ranks right up there with the Arbor Day special and then Kill the Moon for me.
Actually, those were better for me.
Nah, I can't go that far. Let's not get crazy.
Yeah, well, ice knot monsters.
Kill the Moon.
Ice knot monsters.
An egg. The moon is an egg.
Ice knot monsters. Monsters made out of the boogers that come out of your eyeballs.
The moon is an egg, and the creature that came out of the moon laid another moon. It's not worse than that.
That's a matter of opinion, but moving on.
It probably was worse than the Arbor Day one, though. Because the only thing that pissed me off about the Arbor Day one, other than the kids, was the whole, you know, the trees are saving us from the solar flares.
Yeah, but it was actually still pretty neat.
Yeah, it was a neat effect, but it was still an idiotic episode. But anyway... so, yes, I would rank
it... but it was an ice knot monster.
I would rank it, you know, Kill the Moon the worst, ice knot
episode,
and then Arbor Day. Those are the three worst, and Peter Capaldi's run. And then Face the Raven isn't too far from the bottom.
All right, so Face the Raven, the entire episode, which I guess is supposed to lead into the next episode, was completely contrived... to kill off Claire in the most idiotic, stupid
way
possible.
The dumbest way possible. Oh my god. And this is coming from somebody that has absolutely no love for Clara. I couldn't stand her as a companion.
I like most other people, I'm happy to see her go because I think her time has come and went. And it's time for a new companion.
Yes.
But seriously, out of all the different ways you could have gotten her to leave, she is the impossible girl. She is souffle girl. She is that Victorian nanny.
She saved the doctor.
You kill her off like this?
It was such an... I mean, how stupid.
I think it's disrespectful to the actress and the character.
The character. I mean, how dumb of a way to... it's like Moffat was like, I don't know what we're going to do to kill her. Let's just do something stupid where she's being overly enthusiastic of being the doctor's companion, thinks she's too smart, and then outsmarts herself and then gets herself killed. That is the dumbest way for her to die.
But the whole point when you get to the end and they're like, oh, there's nothing I can do about it because that's the terms of the contract. What contract? With who?
Well, the contract is with this mysterious shade bad guy that we don't know who the hell it is. Who's probably going to turn out to be a Time Lord, by the way. It may be Missy. It may be some other Time Lord. Who knows? But I have a feeling it's going to connect to some kind of Time Lord. Or it could be the Dalek Time Lord hybrid that Davros was trying to make.
Yeah. The whole point is the entire episode from beginning to end was pointless. All it did was try to set up for the next story.
I mean, first you have them going down Diagon Alley, and I don't know what the hell the deal was with Diagon Alley, with all the different monsters popping in and out and showing up.
Why does Yunin not know this place exists?
And so, I don't know what the deal is with that. And then, Mare Me, I don't know what her deal is. She's obviously not a friend of the Doctor, because she tricked him into putting the bracelet on and being teleported somewhere. And I'm about over her, too, by the way. Just so you know.
Yeah, I think her little character is being played out as well. And I'm hoping she's not going to be the next companion, because she's starting to be annoying.
So now, here's a question for you. Is Doctor Who going to follow Game of Thrones and The Walking Dead and pull a Clara isn't really dead deal on us?
No, I don't think so.
Well, let me tell you why I'm asking this question. Because there's another scene with Jenna Coleman that we have yet to see. And this scene consists of her serving the Doctor food in a diner, dressed as a waitress. And it's not just any diner. It is the diner from The Impossible Astronaut.
Really?
Yeah, in Utah, remember Lake Silencio?
Yeah.
It's that diner.
I'm wondering if maybe the scene might have something to do with her splintered lives.
It could. It could be a splinter Clara. It also could be that Clara is not dead and somehow the Doctor revives her, but then decides to leave her, you know, as a waitress in the middle of Utah. You know, with maybe no memory of what's going on. You know, a la Donna.
I don't know. Honestly, I think she's dead, and I think she's going to stay dead.
And if
there might be some other iterations of her that are still floating out around there, because she is the impossible girl who's been splintered a million times.
And let me tell you, if that is the case, and the end of her character was indeed in Face the Raven, it is a despicable disservice to the character. And like I said, I am not a fan of Clara. In fact, it's almost apropos that she does something stupid to get herself killed. But, because she's always done something stupid, because she's an idiot. But I still think that for a Doctor Who companion to go out like that is just ridiculous.
Yeah. I don't even know what to say about it. Her death was just absolutely meaningless.
Yeah.
She didn't die for a cause. She just died because she did something stupid.
Well, I mean, in a way you could say she died to save Rigsy, but, you know, still.
But she wasn't exactly trying to sacrifice herself either, because she had the idea that it was all going to get fixed in the end anyway.
Yeah, she thought, well, you know, Mare Me would just remove the curse and you know, all would be well.
She wasn't sacrificing herself.
No, you're right. Until, like, the last moment when she knew that there was nothing else that could be done.
And then she's like, well, oh, crap. I guess now I'm going to die.
Yeah.
And she just goes out, arms wide open.
Well, she before that, she had that long speech to the Doctor where, you know, don't be alone and, you know, don't avenge me and, you know, don't dishonor me by hurting people and, you know, all this other nonsense. It was just pointless. It really was. And it was disappointing. Of all the ways I envisioned Clara going out, that was not the way that I wanted to see it happen.
No. If this was the way they would have killed her, I mean, you should have just killed her when she became the impossible girl and splintered. That would have been a more dramatic death for her right there.
Absolutely.
Becoming the impossible girl, where the original is destroyed and killed, but then she splintered into millions of others.
Yep.
That's how it should have happened. Not this.
Yeah, this...
This was meaningless. It was disrespectful.
It sucked.
And
really.
It sucked. Yeah, totally. So I'm really hoping that the next couple episodes are going to be much better. I know that this episode was just setting up for this next episode.
Yep.
But what do we even really know about the next two episodes? Not much.
Well, we know that they're the season finale, so it's going to be the next two episodes are going to be supposed to be the big finish of this season. So we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting. So let's rate Face the Raven. What do you want to give it?
One. And only because I can't give it a zero.
Well, I'm going to give it a three because I didn't think it was a terrible episode. It wasn't like, you know, that other episode, Sleep No More. It wasn't that bad.
No, I guess it wasn't, but I just think it's all the more worse because of the fact that her death was so meaningless in this. They could have done so much better by her.
Yep, you're right.
And they didn't. They just... And her death was just a complete and total cop-out.
Yep.
They could have devised 100 billion ways, you know, for her to have a better death than that. But nope, this is how we're going to do it.
Yep. Nice job, Moffat. Nice job. All right, folks, that's going to do it for this episode of Transmissions from Atlantis. And once again, we want to wish you and your families a very happy Thanksgiving for those of you that are in the United States. It's usually a great time of family, and we will have our family over. We're going to have a nice dinner. We're going to watch a bunch of football. And
you're going to watch a bunch of football.
Yeah, whatever. You'll probably watch Christmas movies or something.
Yep. Right?
And so it'll be a fun, family-filled time, and we hope you have a very safe and happy holiday.
Don't kill anybody over Black Friday. Don't be trampling people over. And
just don't do it.
Yeah. Just don't even leave your house.
Just... shop on Amazon. That's what you should do. And we also want to let you know that to keep an eye out for our quick blast in a couple weeks that's wrapping up the last two episodes of Doctor Who. And for episode 105, it's going to be our Star Wars episode. Because The Force Awakens is coming. That's right. Just a few weeks away, folks.
I've got my Jedi costume and my lightsaber ready to go.
And, of course, we'll be talking about the end of The Walking Dead. We'll probably talk some Supernatural. We'll probably even sneak in our review of the entire season of Doctor Who. And preview the Christmas episode with River Song.
Woohoo!
Hello, sweetie.
Hello, sweetie.
Spoilers.
Yep. And we really didn't get a chance to talk too much about Mystery Science Theater 3000 as we wanted to. Just so you guys know, Mystery Science Theater 3000 is having a Kickstarter going on right now to fund episodes. Felicia Day will be involved as one of the new Mads. And Jonah Ray is actually the new host of MST3K. And we even have new... Tom Servos and Crows. Tom Servo and Crow will be voiced by Hampton Yount and Baron Vaughn. So those are the people that will be involved in MST3K. And if you want to donate MST3K's Kickstarter, you can actually go to kickstarter.com, projects, MST3K, /bringbackMST3K, or you can just go to bringbackMST3K.com. They've already reached their goal, so we're guaranteed at least three episodes, and they're trying to reach some stretch goals, which could lead all the way up to 12 episodes of MST3K. So it's halfway there to the 12 episodes. Hopefully we can get that far. But if not, you know, we at least know that we have three episodes guaranteed featuring Felicia Day and Jonah Ray. So it should be interesting. Check that out. So that basically does it. So, until next time...
Elonzi.
Elonzi. Goodbye, everybody.
Elonzi. I should say Elonzi more often. Elonzi. Look sharp, Rose Tyler. Elonzi. And then, it'd be really brilliant if I met someone called Alonzo. Because then I could say Elonzi, Alonzo, every time.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.